peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, dear friends in Christ, in last Sunday's gospel, Jesus said, "I have come to fulfill the law." And this gives us some insights into who Christ is. Sometimes when we hear Jesus speak about the Word of God, we have a tendency to think about it as just words on a page. Jesus says in many different ways, in different times, he says, "He is the Word of God. I am the Word of God." The Word of God made flesh, incarnate into human flesh, manifest in human flesh. And really, that's what the celebration of Christmas is about. From Christmas through this time of Epiphany, it's about God's incarnation in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he teaches us this so beautifully in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the gospel reading from last week and this week. Last week he says, we heard him say, "Let your light shine forth through you." And really it's his light shining forth before others. Really, it's an encouragement to live that life in Christ. But then at the end of last week's gospel lesson, which is the verse right before what you have here today, verse 20, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That's what we want. We want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ comes and he says, "Here I am. This the Lord, the reign and rule of God is here." We want to be part of that. But now Jesus says, you have to have a righteousness that's better than the Pharisees. And they were the best at doing those things. You got to be better than them. So imagine yourself on this hillside with Jesus as he preaches that first Sermon on the Mount. And he says these things for the first time ever. Imagine yourself sitting there. You're hearing his teaching with the other disciples, the other people who are there for the first time. And then he comes to this part about you. Your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. These people knew the Pharisees. They were like the best at it. But maybe you see Jesus speaking there. We take a look at the picture on the cover of your bulletin. There he is speaking and you're inspired. It's like, okay, yeah, let's go do this. And it's like, okay, I've got this. I'm going to really strive and really do the very best that I can. And he gets to this part where he says, you've heard it said, okay, you can't murder. And you're thinking, okay, can't murder. I got that one. Can't murder. All right, I'm good to go on that one. Can't murder. I can handle the fifth commandment. Okay. What's next? Is that the way your mind works? It seems like an easy one. Oh, I'm not going to murder anybody. I don't really have to worry about that. I have no intention to murder anybody. I don't want to murder anybody. Probably don't have the capability to murder anybody. That's an easy one, huh? Then Jesus builds on that to show that even that is not possible under the law. Because then he says, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. What I got to go through life now with is whoever says, "You fool, you numbskull, you idiot," is going to go to hell. So every driver on Transit Road during rush hour is going to go to hell. every driver in Buffalo is going to go straight to hell. Because every one of us has been cut off by some numbskull. And is the way to salvation just to not drive? No. This earlier this week, on Valentine's Day, I was driving to get some flowers for my wife on Transit Road. And it was after work. It was getting dark. And the car in front of me, the guy did not have his lights on. So I pull in behind him and flash my lights. You know, why don't you turn your lights on? And I flash him again 2, maybe 3 times. He never turns his lights on. So I'm kind of following him. And he, by the way, is going to the same place I am to get flowers for his wife. In fact, I followed him into the store. I didn't confront him and say, you numbskull, you didn't put your lights on. But I must say, I was thinking about this verse. Have you ever said that to somebody who's driving in front of you that obviously they can't hear you, but you think it? I do. I'm going to go to hell for that, I guess, according to Jesus. It doesn't get any easier. I mean, that's the fifth commandment. Then he moves on to the sixth commandment. He says, you've heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery. Okay, right, can't commit adultery. Okay. But I'm telling you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And Jesus is saying, if you can't do this, you're not safe. Everybody here is going to hell. He goes on with anger. If you're not forgiving your enemies, if you're not praying for your enemies, if you're not loving your enemies, you're going to go to death. You're going to die and go to hell. And then eventually he goes on through the eighth commandment about oaths, taking oaths. Eventually he gets to verse 48, which isn't in your text today. But he says, this is the summary of it. He says, therefore you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the standard. Not the scribes or the Pharisees, but as good as God your Father. That's the standard for perfection. Otherwise, you're liable to go to hell. Perfection. And sometimes we Christians think we can do this. We think, okay, I'm not gonna murder anybody, I'm not gonna commit adultery today, and I'm not gonna take the Lord's name in vain today. And we think, okay, we've got it covered. Or we start thinking, well, I don't call somebody driving in front of me an idiot as much as the next person does. I'm not as lustful as the next guy. I don't take the Lord's name in vain as bad as she does. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. At least I haven't committed adultery. The comparison to God, who's perfect, how do I measure up to that? So, when I was in fourth grade, we had a field day competition. Our school against two other Lutheran schools. And we had about 20 people, 20 kids in my class. I think about 10 boys, 10 girls. And they put you in all these different events. And you got 3 events. I was in 3-legged race, standing broad jump, and one other one. I can't remember. So I thought, okay, standing broad jump. I'm representing our school here. Standing broad jump, fourth grade. And I was like, there were like 3 of us. So I was like the 3rd best boy representing our school. And really not even that, because, you know, the best broad jumpers were in other events like the sprints and whatnot. So, okay. But I did my best. I did my best standing broad jump, okay? Third place! I got third place. Probably because the other guy scratched. Third place. But in comparison, okay, I guess I was better than I did better than the guys who scratched. But it's third place. It's not, so in comparison to the scribes and the Pharisees, I'm behind both of them. And God says, you need to be perfect. So if you're a better broad jumper than the other guys in fourth grade in your school, or you're a better broad jumper than the kids in the other school, boys and girls, even if you're the best broad jumper, you know, like at the NFL combine or the Olympics, God says, you got to be perfect. You got to be able to broad jump out that back door. Why is Jesus saying this? Because you can't do it. You can't do it. Jesus says, let your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. They were the best at doing this. This is hard. His point here is that you can't do it. I can't do it. And that's when we finally realize that this really, 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 really hard preaching of the law that Jesus gives us, that you have to be perfect and you are not. And even when you think of it and you think that you're good, you're falling way, way short. That's when you finally realize who you are as a human being before a holy God. And that is when you realize the beauty of what he's actually preaching here. Because when you are standing there trying to get ready for the best that you can do, he says, stop. You're not going to do it. And he turns you around so that you can see the cross. So that you can see Jesus. Because he preaches this to show you that you need him. Because you can't do it. He says, I have come to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. The fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, the eighth commandment, the first commandment, all of them. Because you can't do it. You and I, we fail at this. We think we don't murder, but we don't forgive our brother. We think we don't murder, but how many times have you called somebody who cut you off an idiot or a numbskull? We have this thing called pride in our lives, and we think that we're better than someone else. Christians have this all the time. We all do. But Jesus comes with these hard words and convicts us, and that's where we see us, we see ourselves for who we are, and then we see him for who he is. He says, this is why I have come, to fulfill this righteousness for all of humanity. In human flesh, and to take on the sins of all of you, all those times that you've fallen short. Because you can't make it. And I'm going to give you that righteousness. I'm going to give you that perfection so that you can stand before God the Father, forgiven and redeemed in perfect righteousness. That's how he sees you. fulfillment of righteousness. Can we do it? No, you can't. And yeah, we get that sometimes in our head, but do we get it here in our hearts? Do we actually realize that? I need a Savior. Thankfully, I have a Savior. A Savior who loved me from before the creation of the world. A Savior who's willing to take my place for what I've done in thought, word, and deed. A Savior who goes to the ugliness of the cross, made ugly by my sin and my failures, by the failures of the whole human race. And he turns that ugliness into sheer beauty by his righteousness. Jesus said, I have come to fulfill all righteousness and to fulfill the law on your behalf. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're tempted to trust in ourselves. We're tempted to believe in our own good deeds. We're tempted to think that we're better than somebody else, we're better than others. And so we're tempted to hold on to our grudges. Come on, Christians. No. What's your thought life like? Am I going to hell? No. Because I have a Savior. Thank God for that. Trust in that. He's taken that upon himself. So that you may live. So that you may have life in his name. He says, brothers and sisters, you need me. And I'm here for you forever. God grants this to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace